if you're committed to lowering your expectations, I'm committed to doing a podcast. Hey, everybody. I'm Bob, or should I call myself The Bub? I'll explain that reference right now. This morning, for some reason, usually I wake up and mornings are often the most difficult time of day for me. But this morning, I woke up with a smile on my face. I was having this dream, and everything in the dream was reality as it usually is, except for every conversation I engaged in, I not only was referring to myself in the third person, I was referring to myself as The Bob. Like, The Bob does not do that. The Bob does a podcast. The Bob is not a big fan of Shandy, and it just goes so on and so on and so forth. So forth, excuse me. So that's how my day started. I hope you are having a equally wonderful day. My day has been just fine here. Last night in the apartment. Let's make this show a goodie, shall we? And before we go, I feel like after listening to Friday night's show, I did slightly disparage this current neighborhood where I live in, which is southeast of Tijuana. And I'm not taking it all back, but there are a lot of great things about this neighborhood. First and foremost, the people, and I wrote down a little, everyone is super friendly. I haven't run into one mean-spirited person since I've been here. That's a good thing. The mountains are absolutely gorgeous. Everywhere you look, surrounded by mountains, they're beautiful. There's a real sense of community here. I appreciate that. To quote J. Cole, there's beauty in the struggle. The neighborhood is alive with music. You go walking around, and it's cool that way. It's like New Orleans, only different. But the neighborhood is absolutely alive with loud music coming from every direction. Yesterday, I was walking back from the corner store, and there's like this little body shop slash house kind of over to the side. And right when I start walking, and a group of guys who... I'm not sure exactly how to describe, but let's just describe them as a group of guys. But as I was walking, they switched the tune to Eazy-E, and it was cruising down the street in my 6'4". And I gave them a point, and they gave me a smile, and that was our little bonding moment. And it's those little kind of memories, right? I eat lunch at this family joint that's a couple blocks away. That's run by these two sisters, and they don't speak any English, and I don't speak any Spanish. But darn near as I can tell, they're all smiles. And there's this taco place I go to at night sometimes, and this taco place is so fresh. It takes a few minutes for them to make your carne asada taco, but it is worth the wait. Because when you order it, they take the corn flour dough, they roll it into a ball, and then they press it, and then they put that on the grill, and they make your tortillas fresh, literally fresh tortillas. Like, and when you order it, they take the carne asada, the skirt steak, and they put this over this charcoal grill, and they cook it real fast right there, and then they chop it up. I mean, everything is just fresh and delicious. It's absolutely amazing. And did I mention the people? I think I did, but I want to mention them again. The only issue right now that I have with this particular neighborhood is every morning about 4:20 a.m., if we're just going to pick a random number, but there's this fucking rooster. This fucking rooster, it'd be one thing. I mean, roosters are annoying as they are if you have a neighbor that has chickens, right? Roosters are annoying. But this rooster, like, has throat cancer or something. It's like, it is not a proper cock-a-doodle cackle. It is unacceptable. Someone put that poor chicken or the neighborhood out of its misery. Something's gotta go. Either that bird or this neighborhood, something's gotta give, because I just can't take it. That said, tomorrow is my last day. Plan on taking an Uber about 1:30 in the afternoon to the new locale. Tomorrow night, I will let you know how that goes. Let us begin, as we always do, with question number one from Fish B. Fishkembe Mutombo, or whatever other nickname you would like to prescribe. Of course, simply call me the Bub. All right, question one. What should the Pope be doing about sexual abuse instead of thoughts and prayers? Well, a lot. This has been in the news all last week. A cardinal got busted today, was found guilty in a church in Australia, the most high-profile person that's ever been busted within the Catholic Church, I guess. But the Pope, in terms of thoughts and prayers, that kind of is his gig. He's the Pope, so thoughts and prayers kind of make sense. But if the Catholic Church so desires, you can elect me Pope. I will be another Pope Benedict, nothing like the last Pope Benedict. I just like ex-Benedict, so that's the name I'm picking. So if I am Pope Benedict, I got this problem solved, and I'm going to solve it in the next 30 seconds. Are you ready? Here's how we solve the sexual abuse problem in the Catholic Church. Zero tolerance. Full disclosure. Referral to law enforcement. Complete transparency. You allow priests to marry, and you acknowledge once and for all that God made the gays exactly the way he intended. Problem fucking solved. Problem solved. You are welcome, Catholics of the world. Next question from Fish B reads as follows. Did Lady Gaga break the, quote, women's code, end quote, with Bradley Cooper at the Oscars? I got you, Fish B. Yeah, the performance was hot and heavy. It was quite a duet as they both sat at the baby grand piano, or was it a full grand? I believe it was a baby grand, but let's not get lost in the minutiae debating the piano size. Long story short, they were very close. It was very romantic. It was very sweet. But no, she didn't break the woman's code. Bradley Cooper's girlfriend is sitting in the front row, who he has a kids with, and after the performance, she gave Lady Gaga a hug, for God's sake. These people are performers. Bradley Cooper is a world-class actor, and apparently Lady Gaga is too, if you saw their film. These actors, they have sex scenes. They do this stuff. The notion that somehow their performance was too good, and somehow that means it crossed a line, that's total and complete other bullshit. Nonsense. Anyone need me? Are there any other Catholics that need me to solve a problem for them? No? Okay, all right. Let's move on. Question three, Fish B. What will be the bigger story this week? Trump-Kim Summit 2 or Michael Cohen on Capitol Hill? Oh, this is interesting. Trump is going to do everything in his power to make sure that the Trump-Kim Summit is the story. And I know I'm on record saying this before, but I think this is the only way that Trump and Kim can steal the thunder from Down Under, that is Michael Cohen on Capitol Hill. I believe the public testimony is Wednesday of this week. Get your popcorn ready. The only way is for Trump and Kim to appear and then go behind a David Copperfield-like curtain, lights, fireworks, explosions, kabam, kaboom, the Bub likes it. And then they come out with each other's haircuts. Kim has the Trump. Trump has the Kim. Reporter stands up and goes, what do you call it? And they go, the aristocrats. That's a nod. That's a nod. What we would, don't get lost in that. Don't get lost in the concept but Michael Cohen, the thing, remember about, was it a month ago or a little bit longer? It is so difficult to keep tabs on every single Trump scandal in real time, but it seems forever ago, but it really wasn't. Remember there was that day where it was, if the BuzzFeed story is true, dot, dot, dot. Like, that was the entire news for the entire day. If the BuzzFeed story is true, da-da-da. Does anyone even remember what the BuzzFeed story was? The BuzzFeed story was that Donald Trump personally directed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress. We should get an answer to that and oh so much more from Michael Cohen this week. I am looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Big week. Big week. Says the Bob. Next question. How do you grade the season 3 finale of True Detective? Gosh darn it. Gosh darn it. Well, first, what a night for Mahershala Ali. I mean, what a night. On the same night, he's winning an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. He's also, the finale of one of HBO's most successful shows of the year until Game of Thrones comes on in March. Or is it April? Forgive me. It's the 14th of something. I'm in a foreign country. Forgive me. True Detective does this to me every season, and it's all done by the same showrunner, that every single episode until the finale has the board set up perfectly. And then I've found the season finale slightly underwhelming all three seasons. It doesn't mean it wasn't first-class television, doesn't mean it wasn't first-rate entertainment. It just means, as a connoisseur, as someone that's on record, that if True Detective was a cheeseburger, I would fuck it. That's how much I like the season of True Detective. I'll give the finale a B-, maybe B+. No spoilers in there, right? I'm sure I have friends that will completely and categorically disagree, but are they the Bob and are they the Global Media Ombudsman? Yes, that's right. Global Media Ombudsman. Take it to the bank. Next question. Yo, it's me, Fish B. What up, Fish B? What up? Excited for our new place tomorrow? Yeah, all right. Yo, it's me, Fish B. Can you pretty please sing my Hokey Pokey song again? I would rather not, Fish B. I would rather not sing. All right, okay, fine. Since you said pretty please, I believe it went something like this. Because no offense to the tush push, but I like to practice line dance monogamy with the Hokey Pokey, and I think it goes something like, you put your fishbowl in, you put your fishbowl out, you put your fishbowl in, and then you shake it all about. You answer a bunch of questions and do something, something, something. That's what the show's about. Hey! Wasn't that it? Wasn't that basically the Fish B Hokey Pokey song? Are we charting on Billboard? Or can one of our research assistants look that up real quick to see where that song is charting? I'd like to know. I'd like to know where we chart. Next question. If weed is supposedly non-addictive, why do you struggle without it? Well, you can't compare, in fairness, you can't compare my brain to everyone else's brain. And while marijuana is physically non-addictive, you can certainly become emotionally dependent on just about anything. Also, because I'm manic depressive, I am basically, my brain is a big chemistry psychiatric experiment at this point, and we just do our best to kind of stay on the balance beam. We try not to fall off to our death is the best we can do. And I think because of that, that makes my brain chemistry extra sensitive, if that makes sense. So any kind of little, routines are very, very important to someone like me. So when you interrupt what my brain is used to and you take away my routine, I struggle. And that's as honest as I can be on the question this evening. All right, next one, Fishbola. Next one. Can you think of anyone less likable than Ja Rule? Well, right off the bat, I can think of his Fyre Festival co-founder, Billy McFarland. He seems like a douchebag extraordinaire. But yeah, there's... here's why. Hold on, sorry, I was looking for something, and what I was looking for simply cannot be found, so we shall proceed without it. But basically, Ja Rule, it was 90 night, or 90s night, excuse me, at a Milwaukee Bucks basketball game. It was the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Minnesota Timberwolves kind of clowned Ja Rule's performance on their Twitter handle during the game. And so Ja Rule came out, and you get mad at me or think I'm an idiot for calling myself the Bob. Ja Rule put Minnesota on blast for putting him on blast, saying how dare they mess with the God in caps. Ja Rule, yes, that Ja Rule is referring to himself as the God, all in caps, and tells them, to the entire organization, unless somehow the organization apologizes to him, they're going to be losers for the next 30 years, and their best player, Karl Anthony Towns, is going to leave. People less likable than Ja Rule. Well, there's Billy McFarlane, Tom Cruise, Stephen Miller of White House fame, if you know who that is, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the official head of the Church of Scientology, those assholes that buy prescription drug companies or the patents and then raise the price 5,000%. All those people, worse than Ja Rule, the God, but just barely, says the Bub. Can I say one more thing about the Bub, just for the ladies? You got to admit, as far as appropriate hairstyles go, the Bub has really stood the test of time. The Bob is into the Bob, you know? Let's call a spade a spade. Next question. A federal judge has ruled a male-only draft unconstitutional. Is he right? Oh, boy. A federal judge has ruled a male-only draft unconstitutional. Is he right? Well, I believe this is the... I think he is... But this is the direction that the Department of Defense is going. I believe it was ruled in 2013. Women were approved for combat. I can certainly think of about 50 women off the top of my head that would be more appropriate in war fighting than me. I think I would actually be part of what Trey Parker and Matt Stone would refer to as Operation Human Shield. Would be the role that I could best serve in the military, or if they want a radio show, I suppose I might be able to spring that one into action too. But in terms of asking my official opinion on court decisions, I'm on record, for those of you that have been listening to this show for a long time, I'm on record saying that I am, in fact, the Bob here, is basically a lawyer, because I got an A in constitutional law at Washington State University. And then I went and looked at my transcripts, and I have been lying to you. I didn't know. I got a B plus. I got a B plus in constitutional law at Washington State University. So it turns out, in fact, that despite my best of intentions, I am, in fact, not a lawyer. I know. I'm sorry. I thought I was, although not licensed to practice in anywhere in the world, I assumed I was a liar. If it makes you feel better, I also got to be in the politics of environmental science, and that was a lot about law. And when you're a communications major, you have to take this very difficult class, COM 420. I swear that's the name of it, COM 420. It's an entire semester about every significant First Amendment case, an entire semester about significant First Amendment cases. And I did get an A in that. So I'm basically, I'm basically not a lawyer. I get it. Point taken. All right. Last question, as always, comes from Isaiah, the tiny player, who writes as follows. What advice would you give to anyone moving to a new country alone? What advice would I give to anyone moving to a new country alone? Well, research where you're going as much as possible. some ability to communicate, so at least some strategy, even if it's sign language to communicate, is helpful. But really, I've said it before, I'm sure I'll say it again. You know, any idiot can make things very, very, very complex. I believe the old saying is a genius makes things simple. I will just say a wise man because I am certainly no genius. And by all accounts, who knows how wise I am. But I think when you move to any new place, you have to keep an open mind. And then you just do the following three things and you'll be okay. And you can't substitute them. You can't reverse the order. But this is how things go when you move to a brand new place entirely by yourself. Even if you're just moving across the country by yourself for college. This is practical life advice, I think. The first thing you do when you get there is you just survive. You just somehow, some way, get through it. Even if that means one day you just got to lie down in bed and binge watch something because you're scared to go outside, that's all right. Just survive initially and you'll be okay. And then eventually, you know what happens? And then you start to adapt. And then now that you're surviving and now that you're adapting, there's only one step left, and that's flourish, right? How's that for fatherly advice? Not bad. Not bad from the Bob. And now it's time for, that's right, survive, adapt, flourish. That's the game plan. You cannot skip any steps. Otherwise, you won't get to the last one. There's no way you'll flourish. Time for Paleta Bola de Fuego. I really wish I would have taught myself more Spanish before coming, other than how to say paddle ball of fire. I really, but whatever, you know what you know and you don't what you don't. Big ups to Kendall Jenner's after party Vanity Fair party dress. Good luck. I was into it. Nice. Nice job, Kendall Jenner. R. Kelly finally posted $100,000 bail. Apparently his finances are a mess. I'm going to make a prediction. Things are about to go not very well for R. Kelly. Excuse me, tongue twister. Gonzaga, somehow, someway, now that I leave Spoke Angeles, the number one basketball team in America. How about those Zags? But thing about college basketball is beautiful. None of it really matters until March Madness. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that tourney, it's a cruel mistress. It's cruel. Doesn't matter now where they're at, but still, way to go, Gonzaga, way to go, Spoke Angeles. A dog. We love dogs, especially here in my neighborhood where there's thousands. A dog set a Frisbee record. It was at one of those AAF football games, the Orlando Apollos or something. But this dog, the Frisbee was thrown 83 yards, and the dog ran the whole way, and he caught it. That's one fast dog, and that's one hell of a Frisbee throw. There's an iceberg about to break off of Antarctica. It's the size of New York City. And for those of you that have been in New York City or are in New York City, hello, John, it's big. Yeah, that's a lot. And lastly, to my neighbor who woke me up Sunday by blasting Creed as loud as he fucking could, I just want to say, I'm not going to miss you. I'm not going to miss you one bit. I'm going to miss everything else, though. And we'll see where I am tomorrow. Thank you so much for hanging out. How will things turn out mañana? The only way to find out is to listen to mañana. Until then, I love you. Bye-bye.